Jesus. Amen. The text is the gospel reading you just heard. Dear brothers and sisters, in the text, Jesus is with his 12, his Israel, his church, in the upper room, eating the Passover meal. Now, at this Passover meal, Jesus is two things. He's gift and example. Gift and example. He gives his body and blood, the very things that he will sacrifice on the cross to win the world's salvation, with the bread and wine, with the incredible promise of forgiveness. More on that in a moment, of course. But first, Jesus is example. Example. He gives them a pattern to follow, an example of sacrificial service, of holding others of higher regard than the self. And so in the text, he models this perfectly and scandalously, I might add. He takes off his tunic, he grabs a towel and a basin of water, and does the absolute unthinkable. He, the Lord of all, the Most High God, stoops down to wash the dusty, dry, and calloused feet of his disciples. He bends down to do the work of the lowliest of servants. The master does the task of a slave. Are you shocked? I suppose. But this is precisely why Jesus took on flesh. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to Good Fridayly lay down his life as a ransom for many. Now in the text you heard Peter react. At first, he categorically does what? He refuses the divine self-sacrificial service of Jesus. His pride gets in the way of being given to by the Lord. I don't know about you, but one of the hardest things in my life is to be given a gift, simply as a gift. It is so terribly hard to simply be given to. We say it whenever we receive an unexpected gift. What do we say? Oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, and when we say that, we mean it. Or when somebody pays for a meal, and a lot of people pay for pastors' meals, I always say, no, let me get that. And so now in the text, so too Peter. No, Jesus, I'm not going to let you gift me or serve me in this way. Well, Peter, then what about our Lord's gift of salvation and his Good Friday death? Will you refuse that as well? What about our not wanting to be served by Jesus in his word and sacrament? That's a huge salvational crisis. Unbelief hellaciously says, no thanks. Faith says, gift given, gift received. Amen. Now Jesus, ever patiently, gospelly, persists in his servant way of giving. Peter must learn the way of being given to as well. After all, before you can give of yourself in service to others, you must first receive the divine service of the suffering servant Jesus in his death on the cross and in his word and sacrament. We LCMSers would do well to learn this. In washing their feet, Jesus gives them an example to follow. He says that you also should do just as I have done to you. Brothers and sisters, this is what it means to live under him in his kingdom and serve him. He is the king who bows before his subjects and he washes their feet. So, seeing this, I ask you quite seriously, seeing this, is now there any task beneath you? Jesus says in the text that a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So what does master and teacher Jesus do? He washes dirty, dusty, repulsive feet. Now Jesus, however, is more than just example. Example Jesus is nice, but example Jesus doesn't save you. You need gift Jesus for that. And so he takes bread that opens the Passover meal, the hard, unleavened bread of affliction. He gives thanks, he breaks it into pieces, and he hands a piece to each disciple. Gift. To be given the piece of bread is to be admitted to the meal. You belong then at the table and to the family. Then Jesus speaks words that were never spoken at a Passover meal before. He's the Lord after all. He says, "This is my body, which is given for you." His word tells us what we could not know for ourselves. This bread is Jesus' body that will later be given into death on the Good Friday cross to atone for all sin. And so, brothers and sisters, here in this meal, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, bread finds the highest and holiest use to be the vehicle to deliver the Lord's Good Friday body, the bread of life, living bread come down from heaven as manna to feed his Israel, his church. And so his Israel and his church then will live off this bread of his Good Friday death until he appears again in glory. That's gift, Jesus. Then he takes the cup of wine after the supper, which is called the blessing cup. He lifts it, he gives thanks, and tells each of his disciples to drink from it. And then again, Jesus speaks words that were never spoken at a Passover meal before. This is the New Testament in my blood. The Lord's Supper is the Lord's last will and testament by which he bequeaths his sacrificial blood given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And so here too, brothers and sisters, wine finds its ultimate purpose. In the Old Testament, blood stood for life. Do you remember that? Leviticus 7, the life of the creature is in the blood. And this blood, however, of the New Testament is a divine blood, the only blood that can atone for sin and that was poured out for you in your place as Jesus bled from his wounds on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And now he gives it to drink with the cup of wine. Gift, Jesus. Washing the feet was the example. Now that is something the disciples who believe in Jesus can and want to do. But giving his body to eat and his blood to drink is something only Jesus could give. He unites them with him in his death and life. He is the vine, they are the branches. His body, his blood, his death and life flows into them and makes them what? Fruitful foot washers or servants. Apart from him, they can do nothing, and neither can you or I. So brothers and sisters, tonight come then to his supper, which commemorates the night on which Jesus our Savior was betrayed into death for you. This same supper that he gave to the 12, he now gives to you. Receive the bread he prepared for you and eat it. It is his crucified, risen, and ascended body, your manna, to sustain you in your wilderness journey until you rise to walk in the promised land of heaven. Brothers and sisters, receive the cup he prepared for you and drink from it. It is his crucified and ascended blood of the New Testament poured out for many and poured out for you. This is the wine from Calvary's vineyard to gladden your sin-saddened hearts. What greater gift can Jesus give than to give you the fruits of his sacrifice, his own body and blood? He, Jesus, gives his all to you so that he will save the all of you, the whole lot of you, body and soul. Nothing stands outside his forgiveness. Nothing can separate you from his self-sacrificing love. No greater love is there than this self-giving love that lays down its life for another. And in the Lord's Supper, at his table, Jesus lays before you the gifts of his cross and says, "These are for you." And now, from this holy meal, you will arise, you will be refreshed, renewed, and restored. The Lord's body and blood will have its way with you in two ways. It enlivens you in faith toward him, and then in fervent love towards other people. Love, yes, love, that bends down in service of the neighbor, friend and stranger. Love that seeks to serve Christ in the least, the lost, the lonely. Love that, if given the opportunity, would even wash dirty, dusty, gross feet, or give a stranger a cup of cold water, or just do the everyday and ordinary work of taking care of your family, your congregation, or whatever the Lord calls you to do. Happy Holy Thursday, brothers and sisters. See you Good Friday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.